Psalm 72 tonight. I just have some one simple thought tonight, and I feel like it's kind of plays into what we preached on this morning. We preached on this morning about our lives being a drink offering to the Lord. We're to pour out our lives for God, and God then pours into us. We die for the Lord, and He resurrects us, and He gives us what we need as we pour ourselves out to Him. In Psalm 72, if you found your place, would you say amen?
Amen.
Would you stand with me for just a moment as we read God's Word together, and then you can be seated after we pray. In Psalm 72, in verse number 1, it says this: "Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. Thy mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people, he shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth." Father, thank you, Lord, to be in your house tonight. It's a great honor. Lord, thank you for the singing. Lord, I pray you'd bless our young folks, that you would keep them in the way they ought to go. Lord, I pray that you would prepare their hearts, and Lord, some of them are young, and Lord, I pray you'd prepare them, and Lord, draw them to believe on Jesus Christ and give their lives to you. Lord, I pray, God, that you would just have your hand on our church. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd send us showers of blessing. Lord, send us that rain upon the mown grass. And Lord, let the righteous flourish. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach tonight, just for a minute or two, not long at all, on verse number 6. It says, "He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth." I love that statement there because of what exactly it's talking about. The Psalm chapter number 72 is a psalm that is ascribed to David. At the end of the psalm, it says in verse 20, "The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended." This is seems to be one of the last Psalms that David ever breathed out, on probably on his deathbed. And it will say at the top of your psalm that it is a psalm for Solomon. It seems to be a prayer that David is praying for his son. But the more that you read into the psalm, you quickly realize that what he is praying for is something that goes far beyond his son Solomon. The prayers that he's asking God to answer are not answered in Solomon, his son, but they are answered in a greater son of David, the son of David, which is Jesus Christ. You'll know that David, God made him king over Israel, and God made a covenant with David that through him was going to come the Messiah. You say, what is the Messiah? The Messiah, the word Messiah means the anointed one, the chosen one, and that chosen one is Jesus Christ. God showed David that there was coming a king through his lineage that would reign over all the earth, and that would subdue the earth, and that the earth would dwell in peace and would be saved through that man. And that man was not Solomon. That man was Jesus Christ, who is a greater Solomon. So this chapter is about Jesus Christ. You say, how so? Well, look with me in verse 1. He prays for God to give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He prays that God would essentially give the great king to come the wisdom and judgment to reign. In verse 2 it says that he shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. Now, you could say that Solomon did that, but I don't think that Solomon, we could say, was perfect at that by no means. Now, by no means did he judge the people with righteousness when he set up temples to Molech, or when he set up temples to the gods of Egypt, or whenever he made his children to pass through the fires of Molech Solomon was not that man. In chapter 3, verse 3, the mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. Notice that this king is a king that's going to be feared throughout all generations. This king is certainly not Solomon. Solomon is a figure of the past. He's a man of the past. He's been overshadowed by many after him. But this is a greater king. That king is Jesus Christ. It says in verse 7 that in his days shall the righteous flourish and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth, as long as creation stands. In verse 8, he shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. This is not the dominion of Solomon. Solomon's dominion was only limited to the land of Canaan in its fullest extent of Abraham's borders. But the reign of Jesus Christ is no longer limited unto the land of Canaan or Israel, but it is a dominion that's going to overspread over the entire face of the earth. You say, how is that? Well, through the church of Jesus Christ. The church is spiritual Israel. And Jesus said, my Father hath given me all authority. Even so, I give you all authority. And you are to go out into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ's dominion is what this is speaking of. From sea to sea, from the river unto the ends of the earth. You say, what river? Charles Spurgeon said, pick a river, and from any river to the ends of the earth, Jesus reigns. Amen? In verse number 9, they that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. His first enemy, the serpent, for lying on God, God took away his feet and his legs and made him to lick the dust. And everybody that follows in the serpent's footsteps will lick the dust after him. This is speaking of the victory of Christ, that Christ is going to be victorious not only over people that refuse Christ, but over philosophies that reject Christ, over religions that reject Christ, over all of these governments that reject Christ, every institution, every stronghold that comes against Christ in the end will be torn down and his enemies will be made to lick the dust. The devil and all of his demons and every idol they've set up in the world will vanish and will tremble and break before him. In verse 10, the kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. In Israel, the Tarshish and Sheba and Seba, this represented to them the ends of the earth. God saying that all the isles will bring their gifts unto the Messiah. You say, how is this fulfilled? Well, I know that there's probably a future fulfillment of this in the millennial reign when Christ is going to come again and he's going to reign. But I consider myself, as of right now, I consider myself an optimistic dispensational premillennial. In other words, I believe in that eschatology, but I'm still optimistic because I believe that the gospel does prevail in so many ways that we oftentimes don't act like it does. We're very pessimistic in a lot of ways. We love to talk about the end times. It's just a sign of the times. It's just all this. Guess what? We are some of those kings of Tarshish that are serving the Messiah. Think about this. Think about in relation to Israel, would they ever think there'd be a country over in the Americas that wasn't even known of at the time that would be serving God, that would have a pledge of allegiance that says one nation under God and would be filled with the church of Jesus Christ here in our land serving Christ. You say, what is that? I think it's the fulfillment of that prophecy. Look in verse 11. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. It's going to happen. One day all nations will serve him. He shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. Look there in verse 14. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence. Solomon couldn't redeem anybody. A regular king can't redeem anybody. But Christ came to redeem us from our sins. Daily shall he be praised, it says in verse 15. In verse 17, notice this. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Those of you that study Genesis with us on Wednesday nights, you recognize that in the promise of Abraham that is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Verse 19, blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. This is about Jesus. Now I want you to focus with me on verse number 6, on just this one phrase. He is speaking about the reign of Christ. Christ is reigning now. He's not returned now, but he's reigning now. He has made his seat in the heavenlies beside his Father. And my Lord has said, the Lord has said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until all thine enemies be made thy footstool. The gospel is prevailing now, but one day Christ is going to come again and physically reign and prevail over the nations then. But notice what he says in verse 6. I love this. This blessed my soul, and I just want to share it with you and be done. It says, he shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. I think that's beautiful. It says that when he describes Christ reigning, Christ triumphing, Christ dominion, he describes Christ as rain. It says that he is rain upon the mown grass. What does that speak of? We think of mown grass. We think of you got your 52-inch deck lawnmower, zero turn out there, and you mowed that grass and it looks all nice. And they didn't have that. You understand that? That concept wasn't even around. Whenever he's talking about mown grass, he's talking about grass that has been hewn down. That's been hewn down either by sickles in the harvest. It's been hewn down by cattle that have pulled it and plucked it, that have trodden under it, that have rolled in it, that have caused it to die. He's talking about grass that has been withered and has been forced by the heat of the sun. In the land of Israel and Canaan, rain was a scarce thing, and the grass would often become in this condition. He is speaking about a grass that's in a fatal sort of way. He's speaking about grass that's been brought low, grass that's been made to bear the heat, grass that's been trodden down, grass that is weary and wounded, grass that is about to die. And what he says is that when Christ comes, he will be like the rain that comes down on that grass. And he says in verse 6, as showers that water the earth, and in his days shall the righteous flourish. You say, what is he talking about? Well, I believe here he's talking about the nations. And I believe what he's speaking about, however it works out in the end times or in history, that when Christ and the gospel and come into a nation, that it literally changes. It can take a nation that is withered and decayed and can cause grass to grow upon it, that spiritually speaking can cause a nation to flourish. You say, so how is that? Well, would you look at America for just a moment? You say, Revis, we always say we're the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Is it just American exceptionalism? Is it just because we're so much better than everybody? It has absolutely nothing to do with that. We're not better than anybody. We're not exceptional. The only thing, we're not exceptional at all. I believe the only reason America is blessed like it has been is because this is a nation that's been touched by the gospel of Jesus Christ in ages past. And we're still reaping the benefits of what the gospel's done. That's the rain coming down on mown grass. So many nations, third world countries, and all these are such in dire need. You say, why is that? Well, you may think I'm crazy. You may blame it on economies. You may blame it on government or political strategies. But I believe it has to do with the Lord's blessings. Blessed is that nation whom God is the Lord. Blessed is that nation who submits themselves to Christ and to the Lord God. I believe it has a lot to do with that. But here's what I want to look at tonight. I just want to apply that for just a moment. Not only I believe that can be applied on a national level, but when you really think about it, even the time that Christ comes to a sinner, he comes to a sinner like rain upon mown grass. I just couldn't help but think tonight about the day I got saved and what God did for me the day that I gave my heart to him. And if I just found, as I studied this, a new way to describe the day I got saved, it was like showers that come down upon the mown grass. Friend, that's what the gospel is. If you're here and you're not saved, you're in the condition of that mown grass. You say, Revis, you don't know what I've been through in life. I've been brought low. I've been trampled underfoot. I'm thirsty. I feel that I've never been satisfied in my life. The pleasures of sin have left me empty and void, and I feel like that mown grass. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the rain that cometh down from heaven, and He's the only thing that can supply your empty, dry, and dead soul. And if you'll come to Him in faith and ask Him to save you, then He'll shower down on your life, and He'll bring life out of deadness for you. You don't have to be made low anymore. You don't have to be trodden under and left dry and left dying and decaying. And listen, you wait long enough, and one of these days, if you don't come to Christ, you'll die and you'll go to hell. You'll go to hell. Just like I deserve and everybody else in this room deserves. Hell is a place of fire, and dead sticks go in the fire. But if you'll come to Christ today before it's too late, He'll rain His mercy down on you, and He'll rain His grace down on you, and His Holy Spirit will descend down upon you, and He'll give you life, and you'll be a part of that living vine that's not fit to cast in the fire. Heaven can be your home tonight if you want it to be. If the Holy Spirit's drawing you, you say, how do I know He's drawing me? If you want to be saved, then He's drawing you. If you have a desire to be saved, then He's drawing you. If you realize your condition and sin, and you know that this is not good and there's a reality, then I'm telling you the Holy Spirit's the one that has drawn you to that, and you need to respond to that tonight. And if you will, the gospel is like that shower of water that comes down on the mown grass. The rain saves the decayed, thirsty plants that are ready to die. But I thought just a little bit further, not only salvation, but there's been many times in my Christian life after I got saved. How many times do we wonder? How many times do we get into sin? How many times do we neglect the common graces that God's given us, His word and prayer and the praises of His people and church? And how many times have we neglected that and we've become dry again in our Christian life, and we've become like that stubble, that mown grass? How many times does it feel like in the Christian life you've been just trodden underfoot and you're mashed to pieces, and it feels like you've not had rain in days and you're in that dry valley? Those Israelites knew about those dry valleys. They had the Valley of Baca, the Valley of Tears, a valley of great heat and no water. They knew about that. But aren't you grateful for the times as a Christian when you've come to God and you've got things right? Or maybe even He was so good to you, you didn't even come to Him first, but He met you where you were. Maybe it was in a car somewhere. Maybe it was in a service. Maybe it was in a bedroom somewhere. But whatever it was, at the most unexpected time, God began to fill your soul with grace and remind you that He's still living on the inside of your heart, and He's not left you alone, and He knows what you're going through, and He's willing to forgive you. Have you ever felt that shower of rain that falls down upon the mown grass? I've begun to think about that, but not only that, but apply that to churches. How many times as a church do we get in a winter season? How many times do churches get just in a dry valley? Boy, isn't it good whenever Jesus Christ shows up by way of the Holy Spirit. And through the Word of God, God begins to rain showers down upon a church. You say, Revis, how will churches thrive? They must be showered. If we'll ever be those green fields that are flourishing, that are bringing forth that sweet aroma to God, then we're going to have to be showered down upon by God. You say, how does that happen? Do we just wait for this mystical, mysterious thing to happen? No, I can tell you how it happens. In Isaiah chapter 55... He said, as the rain falleth from heaven, and as the snow cometh down, as it watereth the earth, that it may bring forth in bud and its season, that it may bring bread for the sower, food for the eater, so shall the word of God be that cometh out of the mouth of God. It will not return void unto Him. You see, the word of God is that water. That's why we preach. That's why we teach. That's why we sing the word of God. That's why we have devotion before Sunday school. That's why we do all these things as a church body. We're showering ourselves with the Word of God. And as that rain comes down, it cannot help but make us to flourish. If we've been planted in Christ, we're those trees planted in Christ, and the Word of God's the water, and it's showering down, and you're letting it in your life, then it's not going to do anything but make you grow. That's what it does. It revives your soul. God, Christ, is like that water that causes the mown grass to be revived. I'm done. I want Brother David to come and the musicians. Maybe we could sing that song together, Showers of Blessings. But I want to ask you tonight, if you'll bow your heads while they come. Is there somebody here that says, Revis, I'm not saved. My life is as you've just described it in your short little message. Dry, trodden down, ready to die. I'm parched, I'm thirsty. Sin's not done anything for me. Self-help's not done anything to help me. And I realize I need Jesus. He died on the cross for my sins. And you said he's willing to save me. And he'll rain down upon me his mercy. Is there anybody that says, Revis, I'm raising my hand and I want you to pray for me. I'm that person. Pray for me. Anybody? Is there one that says, Revis, I'm saved, but I need a refreshment in my life. I see this hand. I see this hand. I see this hand in the back. Anyone else? I need God to rain down on me. I'm dry. I'm dry.